with Dr. Keith Suter.
And we welcome to the program Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions. Hello, Keith. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Brett.
Well, what a surprise, shock story this was over the weekend, the death of Jeffrey Epstein. And there's been so many questions raised over the disgraced financier's death. I suppose his death, Keith, will now mean that there are so many questions that will remain unanswered.
Some might, but I think that there are going to be a lot more questions being asked. Obviously, the mere fact that he died in one of the most closely guarded facilities in the United States. This is where they put that drug lord, El Chapo, during his trial in New York. So this is the place to put somebody as a detention center, and yet he still managed to commit suicide. So you've got all sorts of questions about why the guy managed to commit suicide. And then there are the bigger issues. One is, where did he get his wealth from? He claimed to be a hedge fund manager, but there's no record of him carrying out any financial dealings in the United States. So he's got a lot of money, and also there are all sorts of links, possibly to the intelligence community. There are a lot of VIPs who are very glad that he's died. But the key thing is that there are two lots of legal issues involved. One is the criminal set of charges, which relate to his trafficking in young girls and child prostitution, etc. Now, Epstein himself has died. But because it was a conspiracy to commit the crime, there may still be other names getting a mention if the criminal proceedings continue. That's one strand. That's the standard criminal law. The other strand is a civil strand of victims suing Epstein. Now, Epstein has died, but he still has left an estate, which may be worth about $500 million.
Right.
And since that Epstein has died, other victims may now come forward thinking that they are no longer going to be subject to any eventual attacks by Epstein. So we're going to see a lot of names being mentioned in the months to come. A lot of VIPs are going to be very embarrassed by what comes to court.
I see there are now stories coming out today whereby there's questions being asked as to how he was able to, well, was he able to commit suicide?
Exactly.
Because he was supposed to be on a 24-hour watch.
Exactly. Well, he was on a suicide watch. He came off it a couple of days ago. So that this makes you suspicious. Remember, this is the maximum security facility in New York. So how on earth was he able, on his second attempt, to be successful? Are others involved? What's going to be the autopsy conducted on the body? Because there's obviously a lot of questions being asked. I've noticed that Donald Trump has also jumped into this. He and Trump go back a long way. I might say that if you look at all the people who've ever come across Epstein, the list is amazingly long. Trump, to his credit, dumped Epstein years ago because of a scandal in one of Trump's Florida resorts. So although there are shots of Trump, a young Trump and a young Epstein at a party, Trump, to his credit, got rid of Epstein because he suddenly realized that he had some very unusual habits, shall we say. Mm. And yet, so I noticed that Trump has also bought into this conspiracy theory, which is underway at the moment, because there are so many people who are going to be embarrassed about the information that's going to come to hand. If you cast your mind back, this is a guy who went on trial just over a decade ago in Florida. A young girl was coming home with money. Her mother got suspicious about where the money came from. She went to the local police. The local police staked out the house where the girl said she was earning the money, which turned out to be one of Epstein's properties. So the police then swooped. He went on trial, was found guilty, got a minute sentence. He should have gone to jail for decades. He got simply a few months at a very loose facility because they let him out during the day to go to his office. So he just slept at the prison at night. So they treated the prison as a motel. The victims were not told that a plea deal had been sorted out. And it's interesting because one of the people who's been affected by this is that the local U.S. lawyer, government lawyer by the name of Alexander Acosta. Acosta was criticized at the time for being so lenient towards Epstein. Years later, when he's being considered to become a member of the Trump cabinet, the committee checking on all the appointees, said there was a scandal, wasn't there, in Florida, that you were not tough enough on Epstein. And Acosta said, yes, I was told at the time that there was an intelligence link between Epstein and the intelligence community. Therefore, I just did not proceed with the matter, and yes, he got a very light sentence. Now, Acosta, of course, has had to resign in the last few weeks. But what is interesting is that you might well get people from CIA getting a mention, and of course, for the conspiracy-minded people, they say, well, CIA do assassinations all the time. Is this a CIA job that's gone on, or another intelligence agency? I think you've got 17 you can choose from in the United States, but CIA is obviously the most well-known. So there's a huge amount of conspiracy theory. It will certainly affect Bill Clinton. One of the things that Epstein used to do was to run the Lolita Express. So he had his own private plane. This is part of his $500 million of wealth. He used to fly wealthy people to his Caribbean island, which he owned, and they traveled on the Lolita Express, and Bill Clinton traveled on that Lolita Express. This is why Trump has bought into this issue, because it's a way of embarrassing his presidential competitor, Mrs. Clinton, whose husband was a person who traveled on the Lolita Express.
Keith, I see that the FBI have been brought in to investigate what they're saying is a suicide. But then you see the conspiracy theorists are coming out today and saying possibly, it wasn't suicide. It was organised by somebody else outside.
Exactly, which is why there's just so much interest. If the trial had gone ahead, it would have been the trial of the year, if not the decade. Because Epstein would have known that he was going to go to jail, and he was never going to leave that jail alive, because he was in his mid-60s, and he could face perhaps 20 or 30, 40 years in jail. So Epstein was then possibly going to do a bit of a plea bargain and mention a number of key players. See, these are names that were avoided being mentioned very much a decade ago for the original set of original trial down in Florida. So, you know, people like Prince Andrew in the British royal household got a mention. Now, this will all come to light again if the civil cases go ahead. As I say, there are a lot of people, Bill Clinton, a well-known Harvard law professor, you've got Prince Andrew in the United Kingdom, you've got a number of possibly Israeli politicians who might also be embarrassed by what comes to light, certainly a lot of business people in the United States. So this is why I say it's going to be the trial of the year if it had gone ahead. Epstein, you know, has certainly solved problems for some people, but I think that some of those names will still come to light. If you're an ordinary Trump voter and you're suspicious about how the elite believe, this is evidence to justify your suspicion. Because these are rich people, rich men, except for one very rich woman who's served as the madam of Epstein, who was the daughter of a British media magnate. So mostly it's men, and these are all men who are looking after each other. So if you're an unemployed coal miner in West Virginia, suspicious about what goes on in New York, this is evidence that you need.
Do you feel that the accusers would be feeling now that they may miss out on a chance of seeking justice?
No. Well, they're not going to get, obviously, they won't see Epstein go to jail.
No, of course.
But then some of his co-conspirators might go to jail. And also, of course, they will be able to be party to the civil action and get paid compensation. So there'll be a number of, you know, it's $500 million up for grabs here. So it may well be a lot of other alleged victims will also come forward with a view to being part of passive class action. Of course, one very well-known woman is actually living now in Australia, in Queensland.
So it may have become the case of the year, the biggest case of the year. It possibly still may.
Oh, absolutely. And it's going to drag on for an awfully long time. American legal system does seem to drag on for an awfully long time. So it's going to run on for a few years, and who knows who's going to be embarrassed about what's going to be revealed.
Watch this space, as they say.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you about the US-China trade situation. I see the Australian share market. It was tipped to start the week lower. It did. There's still those renewed jitters there over the US-China trade war. We last week heard of the stock market losing, you know, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, $86 billion. And there's all this talk about the two parties getting together, the effects that it's going to have if they don't come to some form of agreement between the two parties on the world, not just on Australia, but on the world. What's your latest thoughts on that, Keith?
Well, from Trump's own point of view, it's not in his interest to trigger a global recession because he's up for election in November of next year. So he wants to keep the American economy ticking over. But at the same time, Trump's action does reveal a very basic issue, which is how do you respond to the rise of China? Remember, we had our own Australian politician who made fairly inflammatory statements last week about China. Unfortunately, the debate went off to talking about Hitler. But he's raised a very important issue, as Trump has done. What are we going to do about the return of China to the global scene? China is a very big player. How do you deal with China? Australia today, I notice, is going to be spending more money for military activities in the South Pacific, again, triggered by the rise of China. What we need is to have a sensible debate about how we deal with China in the future. We're just nibbling away at the issues. So the US-China issue over trade is just one facet of a much bigger crisis that confronts us.
You said sensible debate. The word sensible and debate doesn't sort of go in the same sentence, does it, when you're talking about Donald Trump having a debate? You know, look, the man has an ego. Do you think that he really does sit down and say, look, I've got to sort this damn problem out because it could cost me the next election if I don't?
Well, he's obviously got to find a way of avoiding a global recession because that will ruin his chances of getting re-elected in November of next year. And he is so focused on getting re-elected in November of next year.
Right.
So he will need to find a way out of this crisis.
How would you suggest he's going to do that? Do you think he's actually going to sit down at the table again with the president of China and they'll come to some form of agreement?
Well, that'll be a photo opportunity. Behind the scenes, you've obviously got bureaucrats on both sides trying to find some sort of face-saving system which will enable Trump to back down. Because Trump can't continue this hardline approach.
It is a changing China, though, isn't it? And I think there are a lot of countries that just don't know how to handle this new China, this new powerful China.
Yep, absolutely. President Xi represents a whole new era for the way that China behaves, including as we're seeing in Hong Kong. You know, he's a very much hardline, impatient operator. So there are real problems with him.
He's made himself a leader for life.
He has.
What are the implications on China with that?
Well, the worry is, of course, they'll end up with another Chairman Mao, who may well have done good things in the early years. Not that I'm a supporter of Chairman Mao, but at the end of his life, he was just going off the rails. And that's the worry. If you have it's a problem with having a king or queen, that they can go off the rails in later life. They may be good at the beginning, but they can go off the rails later. And you've got no mechanism for removing him. This is the weakness with any sort of dictatorship. How do you arrange the smooth transition of power? In Australia, we take the transfer of power for granted because it's a democracy.
Yes.
A person loses the election, they move out of the lodge. A new person moves in. That's the way it's done. Whereas in China and the old Soviet Union, you have a real problem because you don't have a smooth transition of power.
And of course, Keith, it's now, in 2019, heading forward, it's a different China with the population. There's more middle class now.
Oh, absolutely, and much more influential for everybody, and including from Australia's point of view. You know, we need to have those middle-class Chinese coming here as tourists or as students. So we're increasingly reliant upon China. We need a flourishing China, but we don't want one that's going to be running up against the United States.
Again, we'll have to sit back and just keep our fingers crossed and watch this space. Keith, it's always lovely to chat with you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions.